Welcome back to Anchor Baptist Church this evening. We're going to go ahead and get started with the service. This will be the crowd pick songs night. Bethany already has her hand up, so she'll be first. But here's what we're going to do before you pick your song. We're going to do one verse, pray, and then again, it's going to be like kind of one verse song pick. So if you have a song that you want to call out, we'll sing one verse of it, kind of as we've done in the past, just to give you an idea of what we're doing. Ms. Bethany, what's your song, ma'am? 323 more about Jesus. We'll do the first verse. 323 more about Jesus. Mm-hmm. 323 there on the first. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. We'll open at this time in a word of prayer, if you'll bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, for Your many blessings. We thank You for the salvations from this afternoon. And I just pray that You would fill all the preachers this evening with Your Spirit, that You would help the messages be bold, accurate, and clear, and edifying, and applicable to each of our daily lives. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I need another pick. Leah, what you got? 443? Okay, 443. Is not one that I know. So I will have to skip. I'm sorry. And find another one that you want. I'll come back to you later. You guys have one? What you got? Four. 244? Is that right? Okay. 244. Amazing Grace. 244. Amazing Grace on the first. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 215. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. 215, 215. Da, da, da. 215, there on the first.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. 187, okay? 187. Jesus loves me. 187. Jesus loves me. 187 on the first.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the
120, 120, 120, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. 120. On the first.
Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Over life's tempestuous sea.
Baptist Church for our men's preaching night service. Appreciate you guys coming. On the front is our Bible memory passage of the week, Galatians chapter number 1, verse 20. On the inside, our service times are listed. Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 4:30, and our Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 o'clock. We also have all of our soul winning times listed there, and soul winning went great today. Had 4 salvations for the SWAT soul winning time at that apartment where a homicide took place last Sunday. So I believe, let's see here, that's 7 out of that apartment complex this weekend. So praise the Lord for that. We do have our nursing home ministry schedule listed there. Brother John preaching next weekend. We also have our year-to-date statistics for soul winning. Make sure you keep reporting those numbers. If you have any salvations, even just throughout the week in your personal life, email the church. Be happy to add those. Upcoming events, of course, tonight is the men's preaching night, and the time limit is going to be 20 minutes for each preacher. That is a lot of time. You know, when I went to Steadfast, the sermon length was 5 minutes. So, you know, you should appreciate this. You get lots of, you know, experience preaching this evening, and I'm looking forward to hearing you guys. We've got the names in the cup here. So Brother Cameron will draw once he's done with the last song, but you'll have 20 minutes. You're welcome to obviously preach under that time, but just 20 minutes is the upper limit. And then after service, if the men could help us set up a few tables, and we'll have a potluck right after. Also, May 31st is the Durant, Oklahoma Soul Winning Marathon with Steadfast Baptist Church. June 28th is the Tinker Air Show. And the next day, Brother Ben Naim from Steadfast will be preaching both services for us. And definitely looking forward to that. Ben is a great preacher, really knowledgeable preacher, especially for a layman. I mean, he's like an expert on King James stuff, and I'm just blown away that a layman cares that much about the issues. So he's a great example. Looking forward to that. August 27th through the 31st is the Fire-Breathing Baptist Fellowship at Steadfast. Definitely hope you guys can make it to that. And then lastly, October 6th through the 11th is the Bahamas mission trip. My family, we finally got all of our passports shipped in our hands. It does take a while, so if you're planning to go, don't wait until September to get your passports. Get that stuff going right now, and that's going to be an awesome time. There's going to be a lot of people saved. On the back is the prayer list. If you have any requests, please do email the church. Be happy to update that for you. And that's going to be it for announcements. We'll go ahead and keep picking songs here.
All right, we got 4 more to pick. Miss Leah, what you got for me? One. 167?
467.
467. Let me see. The B-I-B-L-E. 467, the B-I-B-L-E. We'll sing there right there on the first. The
B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's a book for me.
You have to pick the ones I don't know. Do you have a backup? Because I don't know this. I'm going to skip you. Maddie, what you got? 412. 412 is Onward Christian Soldiers. 412. 412. 412, we'll sing there starting on the first.
Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads again.
Up the whole song, Zach. So what do you got? 262. The light of the world is Jesus. Great hymn. 262. Mm-hmm. 262, starting there on the first.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is
Seven. That'll be the last verse before the preaching. 127. Is that what you said? Okay. 127. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 127. We'll sing there starting on the first.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take it back.
Time will prepare for the offering plates to be passed. As those are being passed, if I can get one, if Brother John, you'll prepare to preach after the offertory.
All right. Good evening. I want to thank Pastor Oz the opportunity to preach. And so I've got a pretty practical message, but it's practical as far as soul winning goes. So I think everybody here will find it pretty relevant. But the title of the message is Here is Water, Acts chapter 8. If you're following along in your Bible, for a pretty familiar passage, the Ethiopian eunuch. So we'll start reading there in verse 27. The Bible says in verse 27, it says, "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet." And so he's essentially reading Isaiah the prophet here, and verse 35 says, "And when Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." So I want to first look at the eunuch is a man of great authority. And a lot of times when we're out talking to people, out soul winning, you know, for them to even get saved or be receptive to the gospel or what we're talking about, you know, they have to humble themselves. And this man was no exception to that. He was a man of great authority, would have had to humble himself and admit that he needed a man to show him what was going on here in the book of Isaiah. And he said, when he was asked, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And he says, if thou believest with all thine heart that thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It wasn't just him believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, just a head knowledge. But in Isaiah, it also talks about Jesus bearing our iniquities, that the chastisement of our peace was upon him, that he took our place, and that he took our punishment. And so it was a full gospel presentation. It wasn't just him being a Christian, so-called. It was him actually being saved. That was a prerequisite to him being baptized. But he has two statements here that he says. The first being, see, here is water. And the second being, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And I think this case with the Ethiopian eunuch is a great case to look at for a case study in someone who is about to be baptized and where their headspace is. For many of us, it's probably even been a while since we've been baptized, and it's kind of maybe hard to reflect exactly where we were mentally before we got baptized and why, or the things that maybe prevented us from being baptized for a while. But from the perspective of this Ethiopian eunuch, you know, having to humble himself, receive the gospel, many people often have to humble themselves also in being willing to be baptized. And when we're out soul winning with people, a lot of the confrontational things that we talk to people about, it's either going to be a yes or no. People's fight or flight come in. Hey, I'm with a Baptist church. Are you interested in what I have to say? Yes or no? You're either going to get a yes or no. And oftentimes they've already known before you even ask them if they're going to be receptive to what you have to say or not. And it's whether somebody's going to be saved. It's a yes or no. Whether somebody's going to get baptized, it's no difference. Hey, do you want to get baptized? Can we baptize you today? You know, if that question's asked with somebody, it's going to be a yes or no answer. And a lot of times there's going to be a hard sway whether somebody's on a strict no, they don't want to get baptized. That's a really hard thing to get somebody to be persuaded differently on. Mark chapter 1, if you're following along, I'm going to read in John chapter 3. The first thing the eunuch said was, see, here is water. John chapter 3, verse 22, I'm going to read here. It says, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. So these two towns, Salem and Aenon, would have been in the Jordan Plains near the Jordan River, and there was much water there. And this is a timely sermon because we're on the cusp of summer beginning, and there's going to be a lot of water everywhere around us, and most apartment complexes have pools. And so I've got a goal of mine is to get more people baptized, because that's not something that I've seen a lot of. And I think there's room for improvement in anybody's presentation, in anybody's efforts to see people baptized. And noticing that there's these opportunities of water in the summertime, you know, that gives us a great chance to really to capitalize on the water that's out there. But you know, it's convenient, because the Ethiopian eunuch here, he's going along, here's water. It's real convenient for him to be baptized. And that is the first place of this, the perspective of the Ethiopian eunuch. He's about to get baptized, and it's really convenient for him to do that. And a little bit of preparation can really bring the opportunity to that convenience. Just a little bit of preparation, and I don't think it's a bad idea to perhaps bring a towel, a baptismal robe, with you out soul winning. If you wear a backpack, that's something that's easy to do. But when you get to an apartment complex, you know, check and see if there's a pool there. See if the pool's open. See if it's accessible. See if you can walk in there. And I've talked to Pastor about this briefly, but, you know, it's a good idea to just check in every soul winning time that you're at. If you see the opportunity there and you've got a little bit of preparation, maybe a four time, let Pastor know, hey, if I can get somebody saved, I'd really like to have them baptized in this pool, in this water. And as you're talking with people, at the end, when you're closing, going over baptism, you have a much better opportunity to get them baptized if you can say, hey, here's water right here. I've got everything going. What do you say? Let's make it happen. You know, it's either going to be a yes or no, like I said, but it's a great opportunity. Mark chapter 1, I had you turn. Verse 4 there again. John did baptize in the wilderness, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and they were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. That's like, I think he tried a carnivore diet for just a little bit, seems like. He then preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was also baptized of John in Jordan. So when we talk about Jordan, you know, it's not like the modern country of Jordan, because that didn't exist in those days. But we're talking about the Jordan River here. And just like to Salem and Aenon, this is a place where there's much water. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we see the disciples baptizing in places where there's a lot of water. And they see this as an opportunity. And if it's really inconvenient to get people baptized, it's just going to be harder to see baptisms. So we have, though, you know, at our church, a man of God that is authorized to baptize. He's out soul winning with us a lot of times. And we should definitely take advantage of that and appreciate that. And Matthew chapter 3, if you're following along, this is kind of where I go to for talking with people who have recently gotten saved for baptism, because Matthew 3:16 is a very easy reference. John 3:16, Matthew 3:16. Matthew 3:16, if you can just remember that for baptism. I'm going to start in verse 13, though. Bible says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so for now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So I kind of stop there, and I just explain usually to who I'm talking to that, you know, Jesus wanted to fulfill all righteousness, and we would have already talked about to these people that Jesus was perfect and sinless, and baptism does not wash away sins. Baptism is something that Jesus is doing here to fulfill all righteousness. Continuing in verse 16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so I kind of emphasize that a lot of times when I'm talking to people, as in the reason to get baptized is because it pleases God. God's commanded us to baptize and to be baptized after we're saved, and it pleases God when people follow this commandment. But going back to the example of the Ethiopian eunuch, where his headspace is, he asks, "What doth hinder me?" And he's not asking what are the reasons I should get baptized. He's asking, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And I think that's where a lot of people are going to be at when you propose that we baptize you right here on the spot. They're going to think of reasons not to get baptized. They probably already thought of reasons not to talk to you. So if you've made it this far, you've succeeded in persuading a little bit, probably. But it is kind of a sales tactic, though, too, just to think about what people are going to object to your proposal ahead of time, and to be ready with a response, be ready with a reason to counter their reason not to get baptized. But most of the time, there's like one of two reasons, really. And a lot of times, when you're first talking to people, when you ask them what they believe it takes to go to heaven, a lot of times you hear, I've been baptized, I'm good, that kind of response. And if you've picked up that they've already been baptized, you know, you can already kind of bet that when you come to this place, if you're trying to get someone to persuade somebody to be baptized, that they're going to bring it up that they've already been baptized. So if you have this knowledge ahead of time, you can kind of start with that. I know you said you've already been baptized, but the Bible teaches that you should be baptized after you're saved. And the second reason that I've come across a lot is just that I'm not ready, or that I need to, you know, take some kind of class, or they just feel like you might need to have some kind of development or have a better understanding. But Acts chapter 16, that's another pretty familiar soul-winning passage. Acts chapter 16, if you've got it. The Bible says, "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway." So, you know, in this passage, it's a great place to go to show an example of people who are doing the right thing and being baptized straightway, immediately after they're saved, being baptized. And it's, you know, it is an ideal situation that somebody would, after they are saved, immediately go straightway to be baptized. I think that I think back on when I was baptized, which was quite a while ago, but my wife and I were actually dating at the time, and you know, it's a great trait, characteristics, if you're dating a woman and she's just willing to follow you, because I decided I was going to get baptized. And I really didn't have to talk my wife into it that much. She just kind of just said, "Hey, well, I'm going to get baptized too." And so she kind of followed that example. So, you know, it's a great, just a side note, that's a great thing to look at for in a woman if you're dating. But, you know, the Bible says he and all his straightway. And I think that if we're out soul winning, we have this great opportunity and we have the preparation to capitalize on that. And we see people saved and we have other people in their home. You know, it's a great opportunity to see more people saved and to try and inspire other people to get baptized. Because one thing I've noticed a lot of times is when somebody hears about somebody getting baptized, you know, they're encouraged to kind of go do it themselves. You know, once the dominoes kind of start to fall, you can kind of see more people do that, feel comfortable doing that. But also emphasizing that, you know, if the pool's right down the block, you know, baptism can be a really quick thing. It doesn't have to be this huge show, this huge ordeal. You know, baptism can be a quick deal, and just kind of letting them know that, reassuring them that you know, it doesn't have to, you don't have to invite people. It doesn't have to be what a lot of churches have made it to be. But Psalm 89, if you're following along, Galatians 3 says, if you be Christ, then you be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so I believe that starting in verse 29, this passage does kind of, not kind of, it refers to Christians and in the New Testament, and specifically how God punishes his children, which has been a topic of discussion lately. You're there in Psalm 89, verse 29. The Bible says, his seed also will I make to endure forever in his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, verse 32, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Obviously, not an ideal situation for somebody just getting saved, especially, you know, and it's also a great idea, though, to, you know, if ultimately they decide not to be baptized, to let them know that God is one who will punish his children. He will chastise his children. And just to hammer, you know, eternal security again, verse 33 says, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. So obviously, you know, even though if God's chastisement is upon you because you've not obeyed his commandment of being baptized, you know, you're still saved at least, and nothing can take that away from you. But I think it's you know, not a coincidence that the baptisms happening in the Bible are taking place near water. And making baptisms as easy as possible for those that are wanting to get baptized is how we can increase our baptism. So that's going to be my goal. I plan on taking towels with me out soul winning and just really trying to see if I can get more people baptized. And, I think that, I think we could all, you know, if we try to do that, I think we could increase our baptism numbers. So with that, I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach. Thank you for your word. And I thankful for the summertime, and I pray that we could have more baptisms. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Set up here, if you would turn to Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14. Turn there myself. Proverbs 14, you're probably there at this point. Look down, if you would, at verse number 15. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. The Bible reads, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." You know, the Bible teaches us that an attribute of a simple person is that you can tell them anything virtually, and they will believe it. that a simple, or in this case, what the Bible's saying, what it means when it means simple, or when it's saying simple, is stupid, foolish, dumb, uneducated, ignorant. I mean, what other words can I use to drive this home today? That type of person will just simply, pun intended, believe anything that they hear. It doesn't even have to come from a reliable, valid source. They'll just believe whatever. But what's the antithesis of that? What's the opposite? It says, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The sermon title I have for you this evening is this: consider the source. Consider the source. Unfortunately today, we have a population, especially in the United States, and I would say even the world, that does not consider where they are getting their information from when it comes to whether or not that information is true. They just readily accept whatever the TV, the internet, or anything will tell them. But the Bible is saying that we should consider the source. We should not be a simple person that believes everything that we hear. We never question anything. We're never doing our own research. We're never looking into it. We're just kind of like, oh, yep, someone said it. It must be true. But unfortunately, if you are online for any period of time, let me just tell you what you will see. People believing anything. Anything at all. If you're on the internet, they will believe it. I could go on Twitter or X, formerly known as Twitter, right now and post anything and someone would believe it. Like, anything. We're going to get into some specifics this evening. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. The first thing I want to do this evening, though, is I want to prove to you, before we get into some specifics, that if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be right with God, if you want to know for sure that you're following the Word of God, that you're worshiping God in truth, you must consider the source of information when you're weighing whether something is or is not true. You cannot be a Christian, and you cannot call yourself a Christian and be right with God and right with the Bible and just believe whatever you hear. You're not right with God. You say, well, that's harsh. Well, look, I didn't write the Bible. I'm sorry. I'm trying to help you. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 21. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. You know, people will prove virtually nothing today. Oh, here's my opinion. Source, trust me. Source, I saw it on X. Source, I heard it on the radio. Source, you know, Sabrina Carpenter sang it in the song. Source, Kanye West said so. Like, wow, okay. Can we prove, though, that that's true? Like, proof. Prove that to me. And as Christians, we should not be scared of proof. I mean, the Bible is full of proof. You know, the Bible talks about the account of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrections, that it's proven by many infallible proofs that there were witnesses. The Bible and Christians today, for some reason, want to have this identity of, like, absence of proof. It's just faith, bro. It's all faith. Just blind faith, bro. The Bible is not a book of blind faith. The Bible is a book of proofs. Proofs. I mean, did Pastor not preach this morning all the proofs that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? I mean, the Bible is a book of, let me prove it to you. God is a God that not only does, he also gives us infallible proof. Why? Because an attribute for a Christian is to prove all things. God gave you a book, you should read it. It's a book full of proofs. It's proving everything. That doesn't stop with the Bible. That doesn't stop with the doctrines that we hear. That does not stop Sunday evening at 5:30 or 6 or whatever when you go to your workplace, when you log on to Facebook, when you log on to YouTube. And hey, I'm not against social media at all. Some people, hey, if that's your choice, you don't want to be on social media, God bless you, more power to you. That's fine. I like being on the internet. I'm probably terminally online. Who knows? But so much the more, you should prove all things if you're going to be online, if you're going to have some kind of online presence. Now, I wanted to prove first and foremost that this is a Christian attribute, but I want to get into some specifics of sources that people just for some reason fail to consider today. And I believe it's causing a huge breakdown of culture and society because people will not prove these sources.
Now, let's start with something easy. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Let's start with this, though. How about false prophets? How about people not considering the source? Oh, that's a false prophet, bro. I don't want to hear what they have to say. I don't want their information. 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Well, I know he's maybe a little different than your church, but I just really think Joel Osteen has a lot of great truths. I've literally heard that. And I'm just like, no, he doesn't. Well, I know he believes oneness Pentecostalism, but I really think Geno Jennings has some great truths. Well, I know he's not like right on everything, but I think Andrew Tate has some great truths. Like that guy, if you believe what he has to say, he's basically preaching a religion. That guy's a false prophet in his own way, even though he's not preaching the Bible. We'll get to some of that later on. But false prophets, 1 John 4 verse 1, the Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Hey, quit believing everything you hear. Prove the things that you're hearing. And look, this is talking to the saved. It's like, quit, stop. It's so frustrating when people come up to me and they're like, did you hear? Insert false information. I'm like, dude, that's definitely not true. Like, bro, no, that's not right. I saw it online though, man. I'm like, it's not true though. Like, do you think about anything that you hear? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but what? Try the spirits whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Look, you give a one-minute YouTube short of Geno Jennings preaching about like how we should be modest and not drink and not have tattoos. Yeah, that sounds great. And then you pull up the fact that bro can't even figure out that the Godhead's a Trinity. He's a false prophet. He doesn't believe the Bible. He's not saved. Not only is he not saved, he's a false prophet. He's a reprobate. He's damned. I'm not looking to him for like all my next information and all the great sources. Why don't I consider a source that's maybe saved if I want doctrinal information? Why don't I go to a saved source that's preaching right doctrine? And then like, oh, let me gather some from that source. 2 Peter 2, if you would turn with me, 2 Peter chapter number 2. They're like, well, if they knew they were false prophets, I don't think they'd really follow them. Look, I hate to tell you, it really sometimes doesn't matter. This is the sad part, is I can scream this, but it doesn't matter. Sometimes you'll prove someone's a false prophet and they'll still follow them. Why? Because they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Yeah, well, I just really like how he delivered it. I just really didn't like how your pastor said it. He's really mean. Like, okay, was it true though? Because like, I think that's more important than whether or not it felt great when I heard it. 2 Peter 2 verse 1 says this, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And you say, hey, I don't really think so many people are convinced by false prophets today. Is this really a big problem? That's a very loose term here. There was just a new pope. And it's like watching the live stream. It's so crazy. They literally, I guess, I'm not an expert on this, so don't quote me if I'm wrong, but basically, this convocation of cardinals happens when they're selecting the new pope, they'll burn like a certain type of incense, one color, like the darker, it's like they haven't picked one, and if it's like white, it's like there's a new pope. People have no life, and they're so stupid, because the Catholic Church just picks doctrines in the Bible to do the opposite of, call no man father, pope. It's like, don't wear long robes. I gotta wear the long robe. Call no man father. Oh, father so-and-so from this place. It's like, abstain not, you know, meats, drinks, commandments. Men. Hey, we should probably give up meat for Lent. So, I mean, name me a doctrine in the Bible that they don't try to go the opposite of. And yet, with that truth that they're so off base, just tens of thousands probably on this live stream I saw, standing outside of this like building where they can't see inside, and they're watching the smokestack, waiting for the white smoke, and the white smoke came out when they picked the pope a couple weeks ago, and they're like, yeah, woo! I'm like, it's a false prophet. We're cheering over a false prophet being like pedestaled up. that's just going to allow the Catholic Church. First of all, the guy's not saved. They don't believe salvation by grace alone. All the other doctrines I've said that they conflict with, they're enabling all these churches and parishes that have pedophiles and people to abuse people. It's just like, yeah, let's stand out and cheer that on. Why? Because people don't consider. They don't consider the source. They're like, well, it's so pretty, though. Well, but it's just, that's what we've done forever. It's just tradition, man. That's what we've done. Because they're not considering the source. Now, false prophets, that's an easy one. But you know what else 2 Peter 2 brings up? It says false prophets, and then later on, it talks about false teachers among you. You know, it's really easy for us to rip on false prophets because it's easy because they're not saved. But let me help you out. Here's one thing a saved person could be: a false teacher. This is a saved person teaching heresy. Could be a false teacher. This is another source that people fail to consider. Well, but he's saved. He's a saved pastor. So he must be right. I mean, leading by constraint doesn't work, bro. Source, trust me. Source, no Bible verse. Source, here's my opinion. No, this is not true. Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. Jesus, of course, writing to the churches. And he brings up in Revelation 2, we get, of course, a famous reference to Jezebel in the New Testament. This woman, Jezebel, that's teaching. It says in Revelation 2:20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, I'm going to give you my opinion. The Bible is not concrete clear on this one way or the other. My opinion, though, is Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2, I believe could actually just be a saved lady that this church is allowing in a position, and she should not be in this position. Because a woman should not be a pastor. She should not be getting up and teaching behind the pulpit. Whether she's saved or not, I'm just saying, in this instance, I believe she could be a saved woman. But then what's she doing? She's getting up and teaching people to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now look, Jesus is not writing in Revelation to all just like the bad churches everywhere. He's writing to churches saying like, hey, you got some good works. I see that you guys are doing well. Stuff is going good, X, Y, and Z. But look, I got some problems though. Like, you guys have some problems you need to fix. And that's why my personal opinion is that Jezebel could potentially be saved. If nothing else, it's a good church and they're just letting her do stupid stuff by letting her teach. But look, people can be saved and teach and seduce God's people to do bad things. And this is in a good church, where people are coming to church and then some teacher's getting up and seducing them to do what? Commit fornication, to eat meat sacrificed unto idols. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter number 17. Hey, you know what they should have done? They probably should have considered the fact that a pastor should be the husband of one wife, blameless, that he should be a steward of God's flock. He. Hey, God's not afraid of pronouns, folks. He should be the pastor. She should sit down and shut up and teach the children at home. And if she's got a question, ask your husband at home. I didn't write that. That's what the Bible says. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts 17, verse 11. So many people today will show up to a church. They show up to a church that's New IFB. And look, we have good churches in the New IFB. Now, when I say they show up to a church that do IFB, they might be showing up to a church that used to be New IFB. It's not New IFB anymore. And then what do? They don't consider the source. And look, even if you're here in Anchor Baptist Church, we have a great pastor. You need to consider the source, and you need to do what the Bible says in Acts 17, verse 11, which is what? These were more noble than they in Thessalonica. We're talking about the Bereans, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Hey, come to church ready to hear, you're hungry, you want the sermon, you're listening, you're paying attention, but then also what? And, the latter part of that verse, and search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. You need to consider the source. Why? Because it's not enough to show up to church and be ready to receive the word. You have to consider whether or not the source is true, whether or not the source is the Bible. And unfortunately, saved people, saved pastors can get up and preach stupid doctrines, and people that don't consider it are going to get on Facebook and tell you why it's so great. I'm sick and tired of this stuff. It's so frustrating. How about this? How about known liars? hey, if you're a known liar, I'm not going to listen to you. Oh, but he's saying the truth now. I don't care. Bro's a liar. Oh, but he apologized. I don't care. I'll forgive you. Forgiveness is instant. Trust is not. Trust is rebuilt over time, and there's nothing in the Bible saying I ever have to trust you again. I will forgive you instantly. Oh, but that's not very Christian. That's not very Christ. Like, you should, I know he's a liar, but you should believe him. Well, turn to Proverbs 17. Let's see if that's what the Bible says. You know why? I'm going to consider the source. And you come to me with this stupid crap about, oh, they're, I know they're a liar, but you should just believe him anyway. I know it's a tranny that's uploading these online, but you should just believe them because I think it's I think they're true against the new IFB. I know this tranny literally just infiltrated a new IFB church and lied and was trying to like destroy the work of God and is a reprobate that hates God and wants to burn it all down. But I really think that we should listen to them, man. I really think they might have some truth. Hey, how about no, because I'm not an idiot and I'm going to consider the source. And you're like, wow, you're really fired up. Yeah, you know why? Because the simple believeth every word. And it makes me so upset when there's people that I love and I've gone to church with and I've invested in and I'm like their friend. I think I'm their friend. And then they're a liar. They're listening to false lips. They're just buying into all this stupidity. And let me show you something what the Bible says about known liars and people that listen to liars. Proverbs 17 verse 4 says this, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. And a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. You know what it says? A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. Hey, I'm not even going to listen to a liar because that makes me wicked. If I start listening to some known liar. If someone's a known liar, you need to cut them out of your life. Quit. Look, even a good source, this is the last verse that we'll look at this evening. We need to consider the source. And here's the truth. Even a good source is worthless if that source ends up against God. 2 Samuel chapter 17, we'll close this sermon tonight. I really just want you guys to consider the source. I really want everyone here to be solid, steadfast Christians. I really want you to think about the things that you hear online and from preaching and things that you read in books. And again, I don't necessarily think that we have this problem with this congregation right here, right now, but the Bible iterates this over and over and over again. Why? Because it could become a problem, and we should never be complacent and think like, oh, I'm good. I don't need to consider that source. I'll never be tricked. It's a bad idea. Even a good source is worthless if that source ends up against God. 2 Samuel 17, verse 14 says, and Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. You know, I don't have time to really establish the counsel of Ahithophel, but the Bible says that it was as if when you asked the counsel of Ahithophel in the times of David and Absalom, it says, the Bible says it was as if you were inquiring of the Lord. I mean, this guy had some good advice. And notice what it says in verse 14 of 2 Samuel. Don't miss this. It said, the counsel of Hushai is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. Why? For the Lord had appointed to defeat the bad counsel. No. The Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel. You know, your good source, what sounds good to you, if it's against God and against the Bible, the truth is it's not a good source. We need to consider it and always be on the Lord's side. Are they saved? Where's the info coming from? Is it true? Does it contradict the Bible? That's how you can check every source. Consider the source. Let's end with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for the opportunity to preach. I just pray that this message would be applicable to us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Alex, you would be the next. Go ahead, sorry. Kind of tangled up here. I'm going to steal this from you.
So if you could please go to Luke 17, and then I'll begin with my own verse and then go into the sermon title. Genesis 49, 3 through 4 says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, and then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. So the thing is that making a slight metaphor and then going into it, is that Reuben here had the strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. But it was by his own choice, his own free will, to squander it all. And so the title of today's message is, Don't Be Average. Don't be average. And so when I think something we can all understand is that when you get into a car, you don't feel motion when it's moving at a constant speed. You feel acceleration, right? So the thing is that with your Christian life, waking up every day doing the same thing as you did yesterday shouldn't be a pulse of whether or not you're right with God, right? I think a lot of mistakes that a lot of Christians do, especially when you even run with unsaved people at the door, is you knock on their door and you ask them, hey, how do you know you're saved? And it's like, well, I don't kill anybody. I didn't cheat on my wife yet. And so what they always do is comparison, right? A very popular verse in the Bible is when Jesus tells Peter after he, tells him, ask him if he loves him three times, right? He then says that, tells him the manner which how he's going to die. And then he sees like, well, what about him? He's like, well, if I told him to tarry till I come, what is it to you, right? So the thing is that God is expecting growth from our Christian lives, not just staying the same throughout, right? And so you guys are at Luke 17. Let's just start at verse number 7. It says, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup and gird thyself, and serve me, till have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trow not. And so the thing is that a lot of Christians, what we end up doing is that we kind of start getting into a rhythm and everything starts feeling really routine. And then we're thinking, oh, well, God has to bless me. Oh, why am I, like, I can't go through any persecution. Why would he purge me? I'm doing the same things. I'm showing up to church. I go soul winning, read my Bible. But the thing is, again, it's about growth. Because the problem is that when we get complacent, we often tend to be idle. And that usually leads to temptation or even then past that, sin. Because here's the thing. If you do just those basics, because again, it's our reasonable service. The law is not grievous. So the thing is, I don't need to, like, for example, my parents have a wine cellar, but I'm not tempted to drink, right? And there's no sins that are not common to man. So no one here, I hope, wakes up and then thinks that they're gay, right? Like, that's not a temptation that's common to man or something like that. You know, so the thing is like, you're not like all of a sudden great because you just got through doing the bare minimum, essentially. Like, as the verse says here, it's like, well, do you deserve thanks just because you just got by, right? And so one of the things that I wanted to warn people about is that once we're saved, it's not about maintaining the status quo of where you were. Ephesians, if you may go to John chapter 15, I'll read to you Ephesians 2:10. Because after salvation, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So a motivation as well is that, you know, again, if you compare every reward or blessing you try to, why do we make plans and be diligent towards things that are corruptible on this earth? Things where moth and dust doth corrupt, right? Because the problem is that we make all these vain plans here, and then we end up putting aside the things of God, and then while thinking we're right, because we always compare ourselves to others and saying, oh, at least I'm doing better than the lowest on the totem pole, right? And so I think that's what ends up setting yourselves up to all of a sudden basically being pruned by God. It's where you're getting purged to bring forth more fruit. And so in John 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so, again, like with the children of Israel, right? They were becoming unprofitable. And if they are the natural branches and they were broken off, how much more us, right? Where we are coming grafted in, but then it's like, okay, we're also unprofitable, he would also prune us, right? And so the problem is that if we just go by thinking we're always all right and actually not checking the source and seeing if we're actually growing, if there's possibility of us to do more work, have more plans, do more mighty works for God, that's where the real avoidance of chastisement would be, in knowing if you really are right with God, right? So the thing is with Job, for example, he was just, in the end, after he had this long conversation with all his friends accusing him of being evil, he was able to justify himself to be righteous in his own eyes. Why? Because he was continually growing and doing the works, and he was, you know, perfect upright. And so the thing is that We do want to try to grow every day, not just compare ourselves to yesterday and give us an excuse to be idle, give us an excuse to be like, oh, I did enough good, that's it. I think a common thing for a lot of people who backslide is like, oh, well, I've been soul winning for like 20 years already. I think it's enough to just take one break or to call it quits, right? That's not, you're still, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden that you're kind of like paying and building good favor for God, and then you can just cash out whenever you want, right? You're asking yourself to have problems. And so continuing there, I'd just like for you guys to go to Luke chapter 12. And then I would also then, while you guys are going there, I'll read to you guys Proverbs 27, verse 18. It says, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." And so the thing is that we're all waiting for the second coming of Jesus, right? And so a motivation on how not to be average is not just about avoiding being purged and pruned to grow more fruit. Because I think that's a lot of problems with people in this, for a lot of us, is that we tend to notice that most of the time people don't make drastic changes in their lives. It's usually when they hit rock bottom that they finally come to their senses and make a change. For example, the story of the prodigal son, we all know it, right? He spends the substance, and then it was only when he was eating corn husks did he come to himself and then be like, I made a huge mistake. And to avoid being average, let's not wait to hit rock bottom. Because when we usually do that, we made a mistake that usually you can't fix, right? How do you fix hitting rock bottom if it's your wife divorcing you, right? It's that there's some things you just can't go back on. And so that's why I would want to actually have you guys continue to push forward, not just for the fear of God, but also, again, for those rewards. And so if we read Luke 12, verse 42, it says, "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward from whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, finds so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to beat the manservants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken." So the thing is that, again, if you continue to do those good works and grow, there is honor. There is rewards in heaven. Those things should be a continual motivation. Not being like, here's the thing. If you knew that every time you actually got a good review, like, I don't know if you guys are, like, if you guys were in, like, elementary school, I don't know if you guys got, like, if you got, like, I had to do these four color markers, and based on my behavior, I'd have to actually color code how well I behaved that day, right? Where it's like green, you did really, blue, you did excellent, you did above the mark. Green's like, you did okay. Yellow, you got a little bit in trouble. And red, it's like, okay, you guys are good, you're getting detention, right? And so the thing is that if you were told at work every day, if you perform, got a blue little color in your little calendar every day, that you got a bonus, how many of you guys would just continue to work as hard as you can every day to push the mark, right? Pick up more responsibility, want to do more, to get paid more. But that's the thing is, what it says there in the Bible, right, is that if you, God has left you with the talents based on your ability. So it's not comparing yourself to other people where it's like wishing that you only have two talents and then God thinking that God's expecting you to make 10. No, you started with two. You didn't have five. It's not comparing yourself to others. It's up to your ability that God gave you your talents. And so it's not about looking at others and then quitting, because then the problem is if you compare to someone who has five, makes 10, you're going to be envious, and that sets you up to be bitter. And then, again, you're not being realistic. And so I say this, is that just worry about your ability, your walk with God. Doesn't matter what he says with other people, and that you perform and push that mark. Because eventually, if you continue in that belief that you are getting rewarded, again, you will have honor in due season. And so that's what all I have to say on that. It's just don't be average. Let's grow and do better. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I pray that the fellowship goes well today, and that the food please be blessed for the nourishment of our bodies. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, this time we'll do one more song. It'll be a full song. Yes, ma'am, Miss Sean. 63. What a day that will be. 63. What a day that will be. Mm-hmm. 63, we'll sing there starting on the first.
There is coming a day when the
pray for the food. After I'm done, if the men will help, we're going to deconstruct this middle row and kind of just set up a table right here. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for the food. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for this evening. I pray that you'd bless all this food to our bodies, to the edification of ourselves, and that you would keep us safe as we go our separate ways. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With that, you're dismissed.